brought to you by Roughneck Scars, Icarus FC, and of course, For the Culture. This is your host, as always, Elliot Barr, and is joining me is two guys that are super excited to not only know that their home team picked up a road victory, but we also won the Bonds of Course Cup, or the Health Insurance Derby, as we like to call it this podcast. It's Madison here. How are you doing, guys?
Yeah, I'm happy. To be honest with you, especially with what happened last week.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Real quick, before we get started. Shanier, happy anniversary, my good man.
Happy 5 years. Thank you. Celebrated 5 years this weekend. And then next day, Kickers get themselves a decisive win. I mean, this game was a bit scrappy in terms of just two teams trying to figure it out and us ending up on top. But to be honest with you, after we scored the second goal, I was like, I'm still scared. Let's score another one.
So. Yo, I think Matt, you said it best. Like, I don't care if they're up 2-0. Go up another goal.
I might have used a little bit different, you know, phrasing in our group chat, but yeah.
Yo, and it's funny enough because even when we scored the second goal, I'm still doing the math of like, all right, we're not in the playoffs technically because of goal differential. How many more goals do we have to score?
Look, I wasn't even worried about goal differential with being in the playoff spot. I was worried about 2-0 up. We could still lose two of these points.
Yeah, last weekend still kind of rubs in my mind a little.
Yeah, that's PTA. I got PTSD from last weekend.
Well, guys, let's go ahead. Let's hop into this game. First of all, let's talk about this lineup a little bit because on both sides, it was very odd. I mean, noticeably for Greenville, you had Dallas James missing out. You had Tyler Pollock missing out. Couple of key players for them, as we know. And then for us, Victor Flock was in street clothes on the side. Who else was missing? Hernan didn't make the trip. Wasn't it someone else notably? I'm trying to remember. Yeah, Luke. No speculation, just what we saw. But
I wouldn't be surprised if Victor was a situation of just give him a game where he doesn't need to suit up because he's been go since the beginning of the season. So I think Darren was probably just trying to give him a little bit of a rest.
I don't know about. I don't think you travel him if that's the case. You know, I think that's, you know, I think he's a guy where you want that calming influence there, even if it's on the bench, to be able to normalize the midfield later in the game. My guess would be, you know, got some kind of, you know, stomach issue, you know, day of, you know, too many of Greenville home cooking restaurants, or
you think he had the flu game like Jordan? He's some bad barbecue.
I mean, what number jersey you wear?
This is true.
But we're not in playoff time yet, so he doesn't have to be a hero. Let him step up, or might have felt something in warmups because did play down a man, on the bench. Only had six guys available on the bench instead of seven. So that's why I'm thinking that it wasn't necessarily a planned non-activation. But still rather be in that position than Greenville, where they had a short bench, two keepers on the bench, another guy, Pollock, who basically wasn't usable on the bench because they didn't use him in a game like this. As bad as, we've had with injuries at times, they are down to the very, very bare bones down there.
Yeah.
For a team in Greenville that's, I would say for the better part of 2 years, been rarely healthy, it's almost scary to see how much injuries have decimated that team in so quickly.
It's one of those things that you look at in the game and you no matter what team it is, you kind of feel for them because it's like there's no way you could have planned for this eventuality. Like there's no way you could have planned for this many injuries to be plaguing your team.
I do not feel for them.
No. I mean the soccer fan in me does. The Richmond Kickers fan in me is like, yeah, good for you. But I mean, at the end of the day, I've always told people, you know, I'm a fan of the game first, then I'm a fan of my team. And those situations, you're like, that just really sucks, because there's no way you can plan for that. There's no blame you can put on anyone. There's no, well, they created this. This is just something that's just bad luck.
Maybe if they were better with health insurance like we are up in Richmond, they wouldn't be, you know, getting so many injuries and everything. That's why three-time health insurance cup champion.
I was about to say, look, if nothing else, this is a cup that we are consistently won without a shadow of a doubt. In the last 2 years, we won it off a goal differential. Make of that what you will. But let's go ahead. Let's talk about this first half. Even though it was, I'm not going to lie, it was a snore fest. It felt like both teams were really just being kind of defensive. What did you guys thought about this?
I mean, I think, like I said before, I think they were both teams were just trying to figure things out. Both teams looked kind of uneasy to start off the game. And it didn't look like things were clicking, and it looks like it took them a while to get into the game, both Greenville and Kickers.
First half looked like garbage. It was the embodiment of all the crap soccer we've seen at moments throughout the year. Let's move on, talk about the good stuff.
This is also very true. Oh, real quick, I just want to ask you guys this question. Ethan Bryant got his first start for the club. For those who don't know, he's on loan from San Antonio FC up in the USL Championship. What do you guys think about his performance stepping in, we presume, for Victor Flack in that kind of number eight, number six kind of role? What do you guys think about him?
Thought he looked good. I mean, was he perfect? No, of course not. Nobody's going to be perfect, especially at this level. So, you can look past a little, misplaced pass here, loose touch, there. But, I think, he provided some good mobility in the middle of the field, especially as the game went on. He was able to gain possession of the ball and be able to advance it himself, a good 5 or 10 yards before finding an outlet, filling that space instead of it being an immediate back pass, instead of it slowing the ball down. So I think that's something that maybe has been missing a little bit lately. He wasn't afraid to get himself stuck in on some challenges as well. So all in all, a good first start. I think, he's certainly put himself into conversation to get additional starts moving forward.
Yeah. Real quick today, before you go, I just want to give you guys this stat. He had a 76% pass rate. 22 of his passes were on target. They were accurate. They were split evenly, 11 going forward and 11 going backward in our own half. So that just kind of tells you what kind of role he was doing within the game. Center.
Yeah, he basically took that almost literally that number eight spot, helping out defensively to play out of the back, as well as helping out with keeping possession in the midfield and trying to help out with starting to create things up front. He had a decent amount of long passes as well. I mean, he didn't really have that big of an impact in the final third, but that's okay. I mean, his role doesn't necessarily require him to do that week in, week out. And with this being his first start, I think it was a pretty good start, and especially a player as young as he is.
Yeah, he looked really good. Impressed me. I think definitely in the first half, like me and Matt, we were talking about earlier about just how disjointed everything kind of looked on both sides. It seemed like Richmond was just fine, sitting back, countering, playing it on the wings. Greenville, kind of the same thing. It didn't really look like – it never looked like whoever took over the midfield first was going to win this game, and that's what happened in the second half. So let's go ahead. Let's get into that.
Substitution.
Oh, what's up?
Before we do, we just got a big shout out to Brian. He celebrated his birthday 2 days before the game. So,
oh, there we go. Happy birthday. Birthday to him. So, yeah, going into the second half, we definitely had Neil come off for Matt Bolduc. And I have to say this, and I know we've been giving Darren a little bit of slack on this podcast about his substitutions and formation changes. I got to say, man, he got every sub right in this game. He got every, like, little chess piece move pretty much right in this game in the second half. What you guys think?
Worked. I mean, yeah, I mean, not to be results oriented or anything, but I mean, clear, you know, obviously it immediately, you know, paid, you know, dividends, but you know, I think, you know, what really helped with this game is, you know, having a player like Bolduc, he was playing in more of a, you know, central role, you know, today, you know, the combination of him and Ethan Bryant, you know, they were both able to, you know, to take the ball and, you know, drive forward themselves. We've seen a little flashes of that with Stanley this year when he's been in the middle. But really, you know, that kind of center of the field has been, yeah, I won't even say a black hole because the ball doesn't even get there to become a black hole. It's just kind of been like a no man's land most of the time. And you know, being able to have, you know, guys who are willing to fill that, you know, area and, you know, put the defense on, you know, their heels, having, making them make a decision, it opens up, you know, some of those outside lanes, and it, you know, opens up a little bit of extra space, you know, for Emmy, you know, for whoever, you know, else. So even though it might not come off all the time, because nothing ever comes off all the time in soccer, it, you know, adds another dimension, you know, when those mm-hmm. elements are there and, you know, the guys are willing to take them.
Yeah. Yeah. Most definitely. I agree with that a lot. You saw when Matt came on, I think Darren switched the formation. In the first half, you could kind of say it was 4-3-3. Second half, he definitely moved to a 4-2-3-1 because Ethan kind of dropped back a little bit more to be more level with Zaka. But Mack was kind of in that controlling number 10 spot, that which we've all kind of said, Matt is more of the number 10. Is a great number 10 than he is a winger. And he kind of showed it in his game. Even though he wasn't, you know, out there spraying passes all over the field, like you said, man, just having someone that can take the ball, driving at the defense, it kind of forced Greenville to kind of focus more on him, and that's definitely where the first goal came from, because as Route 1 as it is, Bologna only has that space because of not only Emmy, but also because of Matt being in the middle of that field. Which, by the way, also, I don't understand how this goal goes in as slow as it was going.
Well, I think this goal, actually, there's so much for us soccer nerds to dig into with this goal. First of all, one thing I do realize is that this game, there is a much, much, much looser approach to the formation. Because first of all, if you look, Stanley is technically supposed to be playing up front with Emmy, and this move starts with him from deep, from almost at his own 18, and with a pass out wide to Bolaños. And like you said, the fact that Matt is in the middle, Emmy is on that, not exactly opposite side, but centrally on that opposite side, that though Emmy, of course, is going to draw a lot of defenders to him, he's going to scare a lot of defenders into attacking, into closing him down and into taking up space around him in order to block him off. But then you have Matt in there as well, who can create, who can be dangerous. That just left the wing wide open for Bolaños. I don't think up until the point where he slows down outside the 18, I don't think there's anyone within 20 yards of him the whole way down the field.
I mean,
but that goal, I think, went in because he did take that shot from behind the defender and almost like snuck his foot around the defender to put it in. I can see a goalkeeper seeing that one a little bit late. And also, it's curling away from the goalkeeper and heading towards the post.
That's poor goalkeeping. It's amazing to me that if you're playing Richmond, you know, that Jonathan Bolaños, you know, gets 30 yards, you know, unimpeded, you know, turf, I guess, in this case, to run through along, you know, the left touchline. Because how many times have we said it? That is, you know, plan number one, you know, get it wide out there. And how is he that, you know, wide open? How are they backtracking that much? Now, they even saw the same exact thing happen in the first half where he, you know, did almost the exact same run, you know, did almost the same cut in, you know, just pulled the shot well wide of the near post at that time. So it's a pattern they should have been able to recognize. I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't want to take anything away from, you know, Johnny, because, you know, great individual, you know, goal, you know, great on him for being able to capitalize. But I mean, if you're John Hart, you got to be, you know, beside yourself. I mean, you know, think about if, you know, roles were reversed and the, you know, kickers let in that goal, we would be livid right now. You know, so, I mean, and I'll be honest, in real time, you know, you saw, you know, Blaney's coming down, you saw, you know, Bolduc make that run into the box. I was like, all right, you know, play that ball. Why aren't you playing that ball? Okay. You shot. Oh, all right. That went in. Good choices in retrospect.
One thing, go ahead. No, you're fine, Shinner. Go ahead and make your point.
I was going to say that one thing that did happen differently with Bolaños there in that situation is a lot of times he's going to go for pace and just try and burn the defender in front of him. And in this situation, he didn't. He actually stopped. He stops, slowed down. I think the defender actually thought he was going to just try and continue down the channel past him and maybe go on the outside of him, because he gave him the inside. He gave him that cut inside. So Bolaños, because he's able to stop and look up, he sees it and he cuts inside. And I think that was a situation of Bolaños doing something uncharacteristic, which led to things being wide open for him, because he basically did what was least expected of him. So at the end of the day, yes, a player like Bolaños, in any other situation, I would say, yeah, don't leave him wide open on that side. But I think a lot of teams in the league have looked at it and been like, oh, that's all right. He's just going to keep running down the sideline until he runs into the end line, basically. And I think the defender is anticipating that, trying to close that off and say, let me just win the ball early, and makes that mistake. So good thing on Bolaños for actually taking time to stop and try something different.
Yeah, and also shout out to Bolaños. This is his third goal of the year. Guys, how many goals do you think he finished the year with? I'm thinking 5, maybe another assist. What are you guys thinking?
I think that's pretty spot on in terms of.
Do you think that's a good? Do you think that's a positive sophomore year for him?
I mean, I think that's a realistic sophomore year for him based on what's been going on with the Kickers team. I would want more for him for a sophomore year, but I think it's just a question of, I would want us to be in a situation where we're relying less on the goal scoring of Emmy, but the reality is that's who we're relying on for most of our goals. So
yeah, I would look at it less at who is doing the scoring, is more of, are we getting consistent, you know, secondary scoring? So whether it's Bolaños, whether it's Olex, whether, you know, it's, you know, when Bolduc is up there in that, you know, position, are we getting, you know, enough, you know, support, or, you know, supporting goals, you know, beyond just, you know, Terzaghi up there? Because if we can do that, the team becomes a lot more dangerous than, you know, Emmy, and hope it works out.
Yeah, and that's a very good point you brought up, Matt, because the question got asked us on Twitter about, like, what happens to this team if Emmy does go down? And to be honest with you, I don't think it's – I mean, granted, Emmy is who he is, definitely on that second goal. There's only certain people that can make a double doink and make it look good and make it go in. But Emmy is who he is. But I think the bigger issue with the Kickers is just the clear – we don't have a lot of clear-cut chances. A lot of our chances are, like we alluded to before, like looking for players to be one-on-one or trying to get in behind and just hoping, like, your pace cannot beat someone. So I think it's just, we need to have better quality chances. But matter of fact, while we're on it, let's go and talk about the second goal that Emmy had, because the way how you were, Matt, with telling Bolaños, like, hey, pass it to Matt, That's the same way how I was with Chris Cole, because I was like yelling at the TV, like, go into the corner, go into the corner. Don't pass it. Don't pass it, Chris.
That was way too early for the corner. I mean, there's still 10 minutes
left. Don't matter.
I wanted to seal this victory. And then I saw him pass it. I saw Emmy. I was like, all right, he's going to Emmy. I mean, the move that he did, I forgot who the defender was. I think it was Freaky. Boy, it looked like an Allen Iverson mixtape, because he left him standing. And then the goalkeeper, yo, I feel so bad for the goalkeeper, because it's just the ball hit it, and then he looked, and it hit the other goalpost. You can see him like trying to jump to grab it, and by that time, he's already in the back of the net.
Shame for him, isn't it?
It is. Look, why did they have to care? Because I would have been pissed.
I mean, speaking of which, I mean, Akira did have one moment where he did have to make a save, and he was there and ready. There was another moment, I forgot who took that volley that was moving in the air, and it ended up just going just above the top corner.
Why are we talking about their offense? Let's talk about Emiliano Terzaghi.
Yeah. You know,
great goal scorer right now. The greatest goal scorer in League One history.
Exactly. 22 goals, greatest scorer in League One history. And for that to be your calling card to take that, to hold that spot, that was an amazing goal. I mean, I know people say, oh, well, it was kind of a tap-in, but just the move.
Well, who's saying that's a tap-in?
I mean, what I'm saying is
that person does not deserve to have opinions on soccer if they think that's a tap in.
Here's the thing, though: if it's not his 22nd goal, do you think it has any danger of even touching the goal of the week votes?
Yes, because what else are they going to put on there? You put it in. How many goals do you see going off of two posts?
Fair point.
Now, and you also crossed up a defender, like, and you made a goalkeeper leap in mid. Yeah, I mean, come on, it's pretty good.
The beauty of it is not in the strike. The beauty of it is in that touch that you're talking about, Elliot, where you crossed up. I can't even say crossed up, because it literally was just a deceptive touch. I mean, I think most players, especially right-footed players, would just try and roll that ball and get a complete turn to take a strike. And I think that's what Fricky was expecting. And for Emmy to just use the outside of his right foot to go the other way, oh, he embarrassed the heck out of Fricky right there.
Also, I want to say this. I think Darren also learned his lesson by leaving Emmy on a little bit later, because he picked up a key foul right around the 88th minute.
Yes.
I think he learned his lesson from last game to leave Emmy on just a little bit longer.
Because exactly. Because I think Emmy has, and it's like I said last week, Emmy has that ability to down tools if he has to. He's still going to be there to draw those fouls. But if Darren wants to manage him in terms of his game fitness, Emmy is one of those players that I feel that you could, you know, get his attention and be like, you know, calm it down a little bit, take your foot off the gas a little bit, preserve your energy. And Emmy has the ability to do it and still be effective in the game. He may not score another goal. He may not make another run or create another chance. But he's there, as you said, Elliot, to draw those fouls, to do situations where he doesn't even need to use a lot of energy to do it. So
he still got him out of there, because he was committing a couple extra fouls than he needed to late when he was already on a yellow. So he got Olitz in there to take care of that business for him. But let's celebrate, Emmy, the fact that clearly his English is progressing, because he took that shot, Blanco, and then wait, I'm in America, bank. He called it twice.
He did. So this is a question that we asked on Twitter. When it's all said and done with Emiliano Terzaghi, where does he rank among Richmond kicker's greats? Matt Chenier, guys, I want to ask you, when it's all said and done, Or in matter of fact, let's do it like this. If Emiliano Sazaki retired at the end of the year, say he's done, where does he rank among kicker greats?
I don't know, top 25 maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, because I think he needs a little more longevity to push for that top. To be up there with Deli and Yambi and, you know, players of that ilk. That would be the same way as judging an artist off of their first album. I mean, and saying he's a great off of his first album. You need some longevity. And I think 2 years is a good amount of time. But I want to see Terzaghi do this season after season. And if we can keep him next season, maybe after 4 years, maybe we can have a conversation about top five. But for right now, I think I'm going to go with Matt, the top 25. In terms of as a servant to the club.
Yeah, I mean, here's the other angle. He hasn't won anything with us yet. We got a lot of guys who have, you know, put up trophies, who have, you know, gone on and, you know, been able to spread the Richmond Kickers name. What has he actually accomplished so far
for the Kickers? Yeah.
I mean, if you look at everything he's done, there's been individual accolades like MVP of the league, team of the season, Golden Boot last year, assumably probably going to be the team of the season this year. I don't know about MVP race. That's, yeah. If he gets,
I can make a pretty good argument for it right now, because where is this team without
him? Yeah,
right
You really could. And then also, assumably, another Golden Boot. He's tied for first. Matt Lomas is technically number one because Emmy has one more pin to him. But, yeah. For me, for being such a not a young Kickers fan, but for those that I've seen, Deli Yambi are 1A, 1B to me, regardless. And then from right out there, I will go Emmy. That's just me. You know, I'm not as familiar as Matt or you, Shaneer, with all the Kickers greats. So I kind of defer to y'all a little bit more because y'all know what players have done what and won what trophies. But
let me throw you a little curveball here.
Okay.
Emiliano Terzaghi, or another player that I know you've seen in person in Richmond, Matt Turner.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? Remind me, when was Turner here again? What year?
16 and 17, because
that was right after Taylor, right?
Yeah, when we had our seven goalkeepers in 1 year, and then he was back the next year on loan too.
Okay.
I mean, and that's another one. I mean, I know it's an issue of moment, but Ryan Taylor.
No.
You don't think Tyler was all that?
No.
I don't know.
Maybe I have.
Right. Okay, so I would take Akira Fitzgerald over Ryan Taylor. I would take Ronnie Pascal over Ryan Taylor. I would take
I would say Akira and Ronnie are probably 1A, 1B, as you would say, in terms of goalkeepers.
I would take Andrew Dykstra over, you know, Taylor. I would take Mike McGinty over Taylor. Yeah.
Okay, so back to Turner. I would take
Travis Wara over Ryan Taylor. You know, if I'm able to run off all these different goalkeepers, come on.
Wara was one of my favorites. Well, Wara was a good guy.
Yeah. I mean, so, Wara, I think Wara was the fans' favorite. I mean, he relished in the Red Army, and that's one of the things we loved about him.
Yeah. So back to Turner real quick. I'm going to be real with you. I really don't. I mean, now I rate Matt Turner. But at that time, I don't consider him a Kickers legend. Yeah, he was on loan with us, yes. But as far as, you know, individual accolades, there's really not none. I don't know. I can't put him up there in one of the Kickers greats. I think it's cool to be like he's one of us, like he played here. It's almost like Harry Kane and Leighton Orient. Like, oh yeah, it's cool. He played here, but he's always going to be remembered as a Revs player.
Oh no, I don't disagree with that. It's just, yeah, because obviously Turner's, you know, name and, you know, therefore the association, you know, could, you know, go on much bigger heights in the next year and a half or so. How do you just More of a thought exercise of how does that measure up and how does that value in.
Yeah, true.
I mean, and you do have the likes of I'm drawing a blank now.
Anyway, I feel like this would be like a really good off-season podcast. We can really dive
into. Yeah, we really could. Really good dive into
and have real debates, because there's clearly not a right or wrong answer. Some of these.
Maybe we'll do a kickers five-a-side to test this out. All right.
Oh gosh.
Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and wrap up this game. Not too much happened, but once again, Darren got almost every sub right.
Yes.
He brought on Nathan Ani. Ani was real quick, Matt and Shanae. I want to ask you guys this. Does it seem like Ani is playing more of like an auxiliary CDM role than he is center back?
It looked like it.
Okay. I thought I was bugging at first, because I thought at first it was going to be like a 5-4-1-ish. But no, it looked like it looked like he was playing like an auxiliary center back.
Yeah. Let's rewind this to step two. Cam Vickers came on, gave a good 25, 30 minutes, just absolute buzzing around, the midfield. I mean, he wasn't on the ball with a ton of touches, but he was out there to serve a purpose of causing distractions, causing havoc to the Greenville midfield, and I mean, you got to say, job done.
Yeah, another person that went on scout. I think when I did I think I had him in our preseason scout, and I was just kind of like, he might not score a whole bunch, but he's going to do a whole bunch of running around, and that's what it looked like he did. Like he looked like another version of Luke Pavone, almost like that plug and play person. Like you can kind of play him. I wouldn't say in the defensive half, but more offensive. But he can run around and press people. He looked very impressive as well. But yeah, first road win in a long time. Phil, I know how you guys felt about it, but I'm pretty sure Darren and Mika, even though they might not say it publicly, I know they were very happy to get that monkey off their back.
Yeah, 3 points on the road it's critical. Any time of year, but especially right now, how congested the table is. Now we're at a position where it's a 10-game sprint, to the finish. You got 7 teams, tied, on points. You got a couple, differences in games played and everything, but really it's a short season, to the playoff, and 4 out of 7 get in.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Next, if my math does me right, our next 3 games are going to be really, really big. North Carolina, Fort Madison, we get a nice week break. And then Fort Madison again on the 11th. Real quick, what are you guys expecting out of this North Carolina team that has had our number? That ain't gonna lie, low-key has run through the Carolinas, through us, through Greenville. What are you guys expecting out of this game?
To be honest with you, I don't know. I think I said it the last time we were going to play them. The Jekyll and Hyde of the Richmond Kickers right now is leads me to the point where, yes, we had a good result this weekend, but where will that leave us next weekend? I mean, we have the advantage that we're at home, but I'm still not convinced. I do feel that if we can get a win in this game, I do feel that it will start something, because I think that this Kickers team need a win against North Carolina because of the fact that they've had our number so far, and they are at the bottom of the league. They need this win psychologically. So, I think Darren should prioritize, as much as it hurts me to say it, Darren should prioritize the North Carolina game over the first Henny Derby. Because psychologically, these boys need a win against North Carolina.
I think if you get a good game out of the North Carolina game, I think it will lead into the Henry Derby, which is midweek, and then the guys kind of know, like, all right, I have a week off before the next one. So it's not like all these games are bang-bang.
The point I was trying to make. I don't think it should be either or.
Yeah. I think you can go
ahead. The reason why I was saying that is because the games are so close together in time that you know that there are certain players he's going to want to rest for one to play and not play in the other.
I don't think we're in a position where you can afford that. You got to go for the points where you can.
Yeah. So real quick, my fault. Janine, the point I was trying to say where you were making your point, I apologize for cutting you off, my good man. North Carolina, last three games, they played Revs, Chattanooga, and North Texas. They gave up a combined 11 goals, only scored one. And they lost their last three straight. Now, granted, we have not played well against them in the last two meetings. But if there's any time to catch North Carolina slip, and they play Fort Madison on Wednesday, 7 p.m. So, Kickers fans, if you want to get a little preview to see how these two teams are going to play, to understand, this is the perfect game to watch. And if they lose this game, there is no better time to catch them slipping than now.
I'm a big North Carolina fan for the next, 72 hours or so. Need them to, you know, take points off of, the good old pink team. You know, really anyone else that's not us, you know, the rest of the way. Play this back if sound like an idiot later on, but first back-to-back wins of the year coming up. This team, is not going to allow themselves, to lose to North Carolina for a third straight time. We're at home this time. That, makes a difference. Emmy is absolutely on fire, right now. 3 points, and 3 points this weekend, done.
And their last three games are, as you alluded to, that just very bad losses. Three very bad losses in terms of score. Three or more, losing by three or more goals in three consecutive games. It's like you said, Elliot, this is the time to capitalize. I don't, as much as I would want North Carolina to get a result against Forward, I don't see it happening. And if, to be honest with you, if it doesn't, that kind of bodes better for us against them. It'll keep them on a low, and by the time we get there, they'll still be on a low. If it's four losses in a row, I think we have a better chance of turning the righting the wrong of the last two games.
I don't think that makes a difference at all. I'd rather our direct competition lose points and we roll the dice with North Carolina being on a mini, one game heater.
And Fort Madison going into that game. I'm trying to make sure, outside of the Omaha game, last six games, five of them have been a draw, which has been 1-1. So Convention Williams terms of that game on Wednesday is more than likely going to be a draw.
The first time they played up there, Madison only won at the very, very last second of that game.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, Fort Madison right now leads the league in draws with 9. That's the most we're ever going to say that name of this podcast, so we're going to stop now. Oh,
the pink
guys. People. Yeah, pink people. Guys, I think, hey, if you're a Kickers fan right now, you got to feel excited. There's 10 games left. Pack out City Stadium. Like, we're going to need everyone to pack out City Stadium so we can get this playoff push. Matt, you kind of worked out last time. I think there's, 30 points left on the table for us to win. Realistically, real quick before we get out of here, how many points do you think we can pick up realistically, and how many points do we need to get into the playoffs?
If I had to take a guess, I think I think 38 will do it at this point. Yeah, so that would be 14 points the rest of the way. If we get to 40, I think very, very, very hard to see a way that 40 doesn't, you know, get us in. It might drop a little bit more if, you know, the league continues just drawing with each other, but I think right now the aim needs to be, you know, 14 points. So we get 4 wins, 2 draws out of the, and part of it's going to depend on who you're dropping points to and where, mm-hmm. you know, but got to start somewhere, start with, you know, the next one up and start making life a little bit easier.
Yeah. Shanair, what about you, bud?
I think I'm with Matt. If we can get 14, 15 points from the final 10 games, I think we are safely in playoff spots. Right now, I think that's all we need to worry about. Just get in a playoff spot. Don't worry about where we rank. As long as it's in a playoff spot, we can worry about the playoffs. Then let's prepare for the playoffs.
Yeah. So right now we're averaging 1.3333 points per game. You know, 14 would give us 1.4. So it needs to be a little bit better than we've been going. But I think that's a realistic ask as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's make it happen, guys. Let's make it happen. Also, I just want to say, so far, my prediction about Darren, road record, it's going well so far. It's going a little bit better than what it was at the Toronto game. Let's just say that.
Oh, your prediction of record, you know, is going to be good, is doing better after a win than after a loss.
Yeah. 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 I only got one. I need 3 more wins from him. So, hey.
Yeah, I want you to be right. I want you to be, you know, be able to come back on here and be like, I told you so.
Be awesome.
I mean, to be honest with you, and if things continue the way they are in terms of the development of the team, and especially with Ethan Bryant now being in the picture, your beginning of the season prediction, I think this game against North Carolina has the best chance of hitting that for you. The scoring at least 4 goals in a game. I think we have the midfield figured out of sorts more than we did before.
Shanair, if we score 4 in this game, I'm taking a shot before we start this podcast.
Wait.
I'm holding you to that.
Hold on. Are we not all doing that each week anyway?
Yeah, all right.
It's especially next week, you know, given what podcast it's near the preview of.
Oh yeah. No, we definitely win or lose. I mean, we definitely have to.
Right. Also, before we wrap up, just want to shout out Doug Doobie. He was named USL Supporter of the Week for the Rivers here, right? So shout out to him. Yes. If you don't know Doug, he's an amazing Kappa, amazing person on and off the field. Yeah, he's a cool guy. Any last thoughts before we wrap up, guys?
Winning is fun. We should do it more often.
Yes.
Should. And possess the ball a little bit. You see what happens when you hold on to the ball a little bit, you know?
Yeah, 44%. Hey.
Woo!
That's someone that has to in the midfield now.
Also shout out, you know, Elliot's favorite player on the team, you know, Ivan, team of the week.
He did get team of the week. I'm proud of him.
Proud of him.
As always, listeners, we just want to say thank you for taking the time of your day for listening to our show. As always, you can find us now on YouTube if you want to catch the beautiful faces of this podcast on YouTube. You can watch us on there at River City 93. You can also catch us on all your favorite podcast apps and Twitter and Instagram at River City 93 as well. As always, this is Matt. This is Shanair. This is Elliot. We will holler at you guys later. Catch you guys on the good side.